This is an RNZ podcast.
So my childhood, I would say, has been a lot of hiding, had a lot of purpose finding. But in saying that, food has always been there. You know, the cliche of food is love and food is the language of love.
Hi and welcome to another episode of Here Now with me, Kadambri Raghukumar. I'm with chef and food creative Sam Lowe today, and we are off veggie shopping at Auckland's Wesley Market.
I am feeding a bunch of people tomorrow, so I'm thinking of just getting some simple fresh produce. Wesley is kind of like the market I go to when I need to buy a lot of things, but also when I don't know what I'm making. So I walk around and I probably circle the market 6-7 times before I decide what I'm making. So I also love these rogue stalls where they sell like little plates of random things for $1 or $2, and you just know that the produce is like most likely gonna be organic. It's literally just like what they find on their land, and I love that. Some of the herbs that I got was from one of these stall holders as well.
Sam's life and career took a whole new turn after winning MasterChef 2 years ago. And these days, his mind's been occupied with ideas to push boundaries even further.
Something that's like occupying my headspace quite a lot lately is the idea of chasing genius and finding your own virtuosity. And I think a lot of people who start off in a creative craft, often people will chase technique and refinement through finesse within that industry. But then practicing my craft, I've learned a lot of techniques from like people, you know, such as likes of Gordon Ramsay and David Chang and all these, you know, boundary pushers. Then when I got older and met a lot more creatives, like my friends who make garments, etc., or poets and theatre makers, they have the sense of virtuosity. And virtuosity is not a technique, and it's not a mastery of craft. If I make a lot of dishes and you are familiar with how I make food, and if you could taste my food blind and say, wow, this is a very Sam dish, then that is my virtuosity coming through. And knowing that meant that I'm no longer chasing this idea of perfection, because that doesn't exist. So it was maybe since winning MasterChef and understanding like what is my food identity, in the last year really I've grown to understand my own virtuosity and leaning into that more so than genius.
Sam's a product of many confluences. His Chinese parents owned a cafe and noodle factory in Fiji, and when the coup in the year 2000 took place, they moved with 8-year-old Sam to Auckland, chasing a better life. But for Sam, the move spun the reality he was used to towards some kind of identity crisis that stretched over several years in Auckland.
I think growing up as a double minority in New Zealand, and I didn't come out till I was 23, so quite late. So I think in my younger years, I've always sought purpose, right? Like, I think if I can't speak on, you know, a lot of people, but I think traditionally, like, if you grew up, you know, that quote-unquote straight, or and you had a family that, you know, spoke English and you spoke to them in the same physical language, then I think you would get a better understanding of the world, because so much of the world is targeted towards that. Whereas I had to grow up, you know, speaking really basic Chinese to my parents, and I wasn't, you know, fully myself. So because of that, I constantly had to seek purpose with everything that I do, and I usually found it in career endeavors. And that is why I really, when I found a passion for food, hospitality, and coffee, I really leaned in. I spent 12 years in the coffee industry.
Sam's mastery of latte art and making a good brew saw him winning the New Zealand Barista Championship in 2016.
But it didn't bring me liberation or joy. And it wasn't until I was older than I came out and then was free to express myself. And then that's the only way that I think you could reach virtuosity, when you're really expressing who you are.
finding the sense of his innate virtuosity threw him further into the spotlight in some way. Not exactly something Sam was entirely prepped for.
I, believe it or not, I am actually quite a shy person. I think I'd often just be on the sidelines. I'd be the funny person because I actually used to be really fat as well. Yeah, I was considered obese when I was younger. So I was an obese Asian closeted child growing up. So because of those triple threats, you didn't want to create attention because easy target, right? So you learn all these kind of adaptive behaviors to move through life. So, you know, I started to learn jokes and understand what was like being funny is like, and I would understand how people communicate or read people really well because of self-defense, really. So my childhood, I would say, has been a lot of hiding, had a lot of purpose finding, but in saying that, food has always been there. Food has been the most constant, regular thing that my family and I share until this day. And the cliche of food is love and food is the language of love. But when we say that, it means that my parents spoke to me on a deeper level that language could. You know, I wasn't fluent in Chinese, and they weren't fluent in English. So I think food was our middle ground of understanding each other. And not until I was older, little gestures and certain food types that they were offering me when I was younger meant that they really cared about me. You know, like certain broths and food items that they would give me on certain days, like when I'm sad or when I've gone through quite a traumatic experience or anything like that, it means that they were speaking to me.
We're walking through the market for the second time round, and by now a few people have come up to me asking if I'm interviewing a fashion designer. Sam's very styly linen outfits turning a few heads, clearly.
So I'm wearing garments by mostly Asian designers, only because I think it is like, you know, it is me slightly being inherently political. And I have friends who make garments and they've taught me this whole new world of like of fashion and taught me a lot about, I guess, how, you know, the fashion industry has kind of been so westernized and dominated in terms of this like structure of capitalism and unsustainability. So, you know, making friends with people that are like-minded in the way that I view food in terms of reclaiming culture and honoring the past and traditional, it's really, yeah, made me kind of speak more truth to what I believe in as well.
So Sam's the face of DeLonghi in New Zealand, but as a food creative exploring his identity through the projects he takes up, it's been an insightful experience into New Zealand so far, he tells me.
I would say that New Zealand still has a, you know, outside of greater cities, we still have quite a narrow mindset, and especially because I won MasterChef, and I'm quite vocal with like how I pursue my endeavors, and people who around me, even my talent agency, they know what I would stand for and what I wouldn't take. So in terms of setting boundaries, I've had to be really clear with the job opportunities that I take. You know, it's that fine balance between how am I using my platform to educate, you know, a group of people that might not know anything about my culture or diaspora. As much as I like to be involved with Chinese events and things like that, but like, when am I called to just do a cake? You know, when can I do a food column that isn't only Chinese related? Am I given other job opportunities? You know, if I was white and won MasterChef, what would my job opportunities be like? So that, I think that's something I question quite a lot and think about quite often as well.
So what about that classic cliche list of cheap and cheerful Asian eats? What does someone like Sam make of those lists as a food creative bent on challenging norms?
Do you think we finally moved past that?
I don't think so. You know, I think there is a small population that really advocates for that and understands that, you know, Asian cuisine or just any ethnic minority cuisine is more than, you know, your under $25 plate of food. It goes back to the garment industry, the philosophy that I was talking about, right? Like, we think if you dress a certain way, then you feel like you're a part of this larger community of, you know, if you wear Gucci or Prada, you're part of this, like, you know, community and elite, and you represent these certain ideas. So if you eat, you know, what is trending right now, which is European bistro, if you eat steak frites with gravy or heirloom tomatoes with burrata, and you drink natural wines, you know, I think you, society deems you as a part of this particular, like, societal class. And I'd much rather have, you know, a plate of cha kway tiao, and yeah, I do like wine. Yeah, why can't we have both of those things together? So I think there's this classism within food that I don't think we have really moved away from. I think we still categorize quote-unquote cheap eats and what is classy food. I think through conversations like this with, especially with the youth and the younger generation, especially the Gen Zs, they are a lot more aware of, I guess, these types of conditioning and reshaping of society.
Big thanks to Sam Lowe for that walk and talk through Wesley Market in Auckland. My name is Kadambri Raghukumar, and every week I bring you stories with people from all around the world who live here in New Zealand. You can follow the Here Now podcast on all your favourite podcast platforms, and you can also find us on the RNZ website. My name is Kadambri Raghukumar. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.